Father, we're back once again to to look at your word, to look at what you have told us about the last days, what you have told us about end times. And Father, we thank you that you have given us of your spirit to lead us and to guide us into truth. And Father, we just trust as we talk about and read some of the book of Revelation tonight that you will teach us, Lord. You will guide us. And Father, we just want you to receive glory and honor and praise from everything that we do this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 NASB or NIB?
Who?
Do you have an NASB or is it an NIV?
The non-inspired word? It's an NASB.
NASB?
Yes. New American Standard. All right. First thing, last time we got together, right, we had talked about Israel being... rescued, and what verse was that?
In 19?
No.
In Revelation.
That was Revelation
12.
And where Israel received it?
14.
In verse 14, Revelation 12:14, it said, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place. And I had said that I had found that wings of an eagle in the Old Testament, and I couldn't remember exactly where, but it is in Exodus 19:4, verse 4. And this has to do with... obviously, the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt. And 19:4 says, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And you can see that back at this time, there weren't any winged airplanes or anything that would have rescued the Israelites here and taken them out of Egypt, but it was the deliverance that God had provided. And I believe that this is the same metaphor that is used in Revelation 12 here for once again delivering Israel from its enemies. So we'll alright, so let's leave that. I think we finished up 12 and we were moving into 13. And this was all part of an intermission in the... this particular intermission is between the 6th and the 7th trumpet. And we've got some pictures here, some history, some kind of current events, things that are going on, that will go on at the time of the 7-year tribulation with Israel. So as we start into chapter 13, and I think we talked about some of this, if not all of this, when we talked about the beast, when we got to it in Daniel. But let me just read. We'll kind of cover some things and see if there's questions. And so Revelation 13:1, and the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. So I think if you remember, you know, back into the book of Daniel, talking about a future time, that at the end, that there is going to be a 10 nation alliance, right, of which 3 of them are going to be defeated, right, and then so there'll be 7, and then out of one of those nations will rise the single-horned Antichrist. Right? So, I believe here is another reference then to those same ten horns, to the seven heads. And we know that the Antichrist speaks with a blasphemous mouth, boasting. And here it's saying, using blasphemous names on the head, trying to establish the fact that he, is God and God is not God. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And we found out that the dragon is actually the devil, the Satan, from chapter 12. And these, the leopard, the bear, those are all, metaphors from back also in Daniel.
And almost, how there was that fourth beast that it didn't have any real... It wasn't really described. It was just a terrible beast. It sounds almost like in this passage it's a combination of all the previous beasts.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of the evil of all of those prior nations is all rolled up into this last kingdom that the Antichrist is going to lead. And verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. So who is this verse talking about?
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist. We're talking about the beast that comes out of the sea. The dragon, Satan, gives him his power. We're talking about the Antichrist. And here it says, and one of his heads slain, fatal wound, and healed. So the belief here is that the Antichrist at some point is going to be killed. And he is then going to be resurrected. And which is an anti-type to Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus was killed, died, and came back to life. And it says here that all the people are going to follow after the beast because of their amazement. So this is, I think, one of the ways that he's really going to captivate the people. Will be through whatever this is. And the words here are, not like he's going to faint or they're going to think he's dead. He is actually dead and comes back to life again. And verse 4, then they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast and worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. So this appears to be in the second half of the 7-year period, in the tribulation, the actual tribulation part, where he turns on the nation of Israel. He breaks the covenant with Israel and he starts to go after them. And again, Daniel also described the Antichrist as one who spoke boastfully, arrogantly, blasphemously. All right? And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And it was also given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe, people, and tongue, and nation was given to him. To me, that certainly sounds like the whole world. Okay? Not just locally. So all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb, who has been slain. So So I think you know, as if you've read the Bible at all, that there are various books that are going to be opened at different judgments. And one place you want to find your name, right, is in the Book of the Lamb, in the Book of Life. And there is another book that has the names of those. Actually, they've been erased. You know, they were in the Book of Life, but their names have been erased, and they're now the ones that will follow after the beast, the ones that will be condemned when his downfall comes.
Boy, if once saved, always saved. Why would there
these, are not, these are not. No, these are not. There's a book of everybody that has been given. That has been given. There's a book. There's a book that their names are erased from. Okay.
But it's not this one.
It's not this one.
It's not the Book of Life.
Right. Not the Book of Life. It's not the Book of Life of the Lamb. All right, we'll see if we come across it, because I believe it's in here. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. And here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. So God knows those that are His, and He preserves those that are His, and He gives the faith for us to continue to believe and to continue to trust in Him, and we will persevere, we will endure, or those that, during this time frame, will endure to the end. We will already be gone, okay? Then in verse 11, we get another beast. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. So this is the false prophet here. We have kind of a trinity of evil. We have the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil, Satan. And here the false prophet is going to be probably the religious leader, leading a one-world church at this time. And the directive or direction is going to be to worship the beast, especially now after the fact that he has been resurrected. He's come back from the dead. And the false beast, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire to come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs, and it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So a statue, you know, is going to be erected of the beast, of the Antichrist, and the statue is going to basically come alive. And if you don't bow down and worship, fire can come out, will come out, and will devour those that refuse to worship the image of the Antichrist. 16, and he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. So this is where we get the mark of the beast. I think the wording here is important, that this mark, whatever it is going to be on the hand or on the forehead. You know, not in the hand or in the forehead. It's going to be on. It's going to be visible. It's going to be seen. And that, whatever that mark is going to have something to do with either his name or his number. And I'm sure you've all heard that any number of attempts have been made to try and identify the person who is 666, right? And typically with the numbers in the book here, various languages have numbers that are associated with letters, okay? So when you... and especially in Hebrew, all right, there, you know, the numbers have a lot to do with, well, the number 7 in the Hebrew is a complete number. The number 3, you know, is a
popular
number,
yeah.
There's 40 and 12. 40 and 12 is, you know, 12 is like a representative number. The 40 days. So numbers are important, and some of the Jewish tradition, some of the stuff that I've heard has, you know, talks about the numbers, like the dimensions of the ark. Are important because they seem to relate to the names of God, which I thought was interesting. And so there's been many attempts to, you know, Nero they thought was the Antichrist because apparently in Roman numerology his name is equivalent to 666. What was Ronald Reagan's middle name? Ronald. It also has 6 letters, whatever it is. So Ronald's got 6 letters. His middle name had 6 letters. And Reagan has 6 letters. You know, 666. Yes. So
I guess I could say both my first name and last name are 6. My middle name is 5. I'm saved by that.
There you go. You're in good shape.
I would hope it would be
more. We purposely planned it that way. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't want that.
Yeah.
Perhaps the when Jesus said many will come in my name, maybe he's the 666th false prophet.
Well, 666 probably has more to do with the fact that he's a man. Alright? You know, seven complete, 777 is, you know, a number used of God. You know, perfect, complete.
6 was the day he created man.
Yes. Yeah. And on the 7th day he rested, right? So 666 is basically, here's a man who, even as high as he can get, still comes short of being God. Alright? So, and the other thing is we read in Thessalonians that this person is not going to be revealed until after the rapture of the church. So there isn't any reason for us to, at this point in time, to try and figure out who this person is.
Yeah, but it's still fun to try and read the last chapter of the book before you read the rest of it, you know?
Yes.
Try and figure out the mystery.
What's going on, yes. All right? So, don't take the mark. If you do take the mark, you're going to be lost. So the people, whoever, you know, at the time that are living at this time, will need to be taught that. Hopefully they'll understand that. And that they will reject the mark of the beast. And you know, in so doing, you know, be saved. All right? So in 14, we get into the 144,000, and we talk briefly about them. Then I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. And these are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. So we saw the 144,000 earlier, 12,000 from each of the tribes. They're holy, they're protected by God, with something written on their forehead. So it seems like the Antichrist tries to copy that. So you've got those that are sealed with some kind of a sign on their forehead, and there'll be those that will take the mark of the beast. So you're going to stand out kind of like a sore thumb. But
yeah, but the Left Behind books,
yes,
said that only other believers could see it.
See it.
Yes. So they'll be okay.
So,
don't you check this stuff with the Left Behind series before you?
I really wanted to. Yeah.
That could be our assignment reading.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Except they're all talking. It's all way too political for my taste.
All right. Well, let's go into six, verse six. And I saw another angel flying in mid heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters." So at the last, just in case there are some that haven't heard, there's going to be an angel who's going to be giving the gospel message, flying around, and I believe at this point we can truly say that every tribe, nation, tongue has heard the gospel. It has gone around the world. Okay, I'm losing everybody. His eyes are getting heavy.
Sorry.
All right. And another angel, the second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." And we'll talk about that when we get to 17 and 18. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name."
So there's no repentance from that.
There's going to be no repentance from that. And for, you know, those that want to teach annihilation, you know, that those that end up being judged and go to the lake of fire, that they will be, you know, annihilated, totally burned up, no more existence, verses like this stand in opposition to that point of view. All right? So here's the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. All right, and then 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. So, at this point, you're going to be forced, I believe, to make a decision to take the mark of the beast, or lose your life. Okay? And here is, blessed are those who will die giving their life for the Lord. 14, then I looked and behold a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. And then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one who had power over the fire, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and then threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. So we have two sicklers here. All right, one I believe gathering, because the second one gathers the ones that are going to be put into the winepress of God's wrath, that the first group are the ones who are going to ultimately go in to the millennial kingdom and reign under, or Jesus will reign over them. We will reign over them also for the 1,000 years. And the winepress, 20, was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. I think there was another description that we read in Zechariah where it talked about in the Battle of Armageddon that the blood is going to be bridled deep on a horse. And
it says that here too.
Hmm?
It says it here too.
Does it? Yes, up to the horse's bridle, and maybe it was 200 miles. But it talks about when Jesus speaks to those that are gathered in the valley, that they're basically just going to disintegrate, you know, rot on their horses. Their horses are going to also, I think I said, you know, when I read this, I think of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, and what happened to the German soldiers, and Indiana Jones kept his eyes closed and told his girlfriend to keep his eyes closed and nothing happened to him, you know.
His girlfriend to keep his eyes closed?
Keep her eyes closed.
Okay.
Had to keep his eyes closed.
I did that too.
Yeah.
I kept my eyes closed.
That reference where it speaks of swing your sickle for the crop is ripe on the earth, and the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. That does sound like biblical evidence for a physical rapture, a physical as well as spiritual.
Okay, but this is going to be a gathering of the people in the tribulation period. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be and I believe that what's going to happen to them is that they're actually going to be taken to Jerusalem or the area around Jerusalem, because we know that there's a judgment of the sheep and the goats that takes place at the time that Jesus comes back after the Battle of Armageddon, and those that are found unworthy, you know, end up getting tossed into hell, and those that are found worthy will enter into the kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Okay? Alright. So then the pouring out of the seven last plagues, and this is all part of the seventh trumpet, are seven bowls. And then I saw Another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And these things I looked, after these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen, clean and bright, and girded around their chests with golden sashes. Then out of the four living creatures came the seven angels. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. And those seven, the end of the trumpets is actually talks about the return of Jesus. And we know that there are seven bowls that are left as part of the seventh trumpet. So it would appear that these bowls are poured out very rapidly at the very end. Okay? Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go, pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. First angel went out and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast who worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. I think if you remember in the trumpets, when the bowl was poured out, or the trumpet was blown, then a third of the water turned to blood, and a third of the fishes and animals in it died. Well, here they all died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and did not repent so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, who go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. And then behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which is in Hebrew called Armageddon. And then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, And a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of her fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. So this is going to be, like I say, it's just going to be a final pouring out of the final wrath of God, where an angel says, you know, hey, you know, it's now done. And then in chapter 17 and 18, it talks about the fall of Babylon. We've heard an angel say that Babylon has fallen. And now we get into a description here of the religious fall of Babylon and the economic or business fall of Babylon. And what's interesting about this is that Babylon is an actual city. It sits on the banks of the Euphrates. And it is where is thought was the Tower of Babel. Thus, Babylon. All right. So Nimrod, the first real leader of rebellion against God, started in Babylon. And now we've come full circle back to Babylon. And now this city, you know, being kind of the representative and probably the headquarters for the Antichrist, you know, other than Jerusalem, this is probably where he's going to be, which to me is maybe an indication that possibly the Antichrist is out of the Islamic faith. Okay? Has anybody seen pictures of the city of Babylon? That
it's not called Babylon, though, right now. What is it?
Isn't it Baghdad?
It's 50 miles away from Baghdad. I thought it was called Babylon. When who's the guy? Who's Iraq? Yeah, Saddam Hussein.
Was trying to rebuild it.
Right. Right. And they were spending a lot of money on rebuilding it, you know, and his picture was, you know, there, you know, larger than life as they, you know, as they say. So so in this description then is the destruction, you know, that if the Antichrist is there and the false prophet are there, that this will be also the center of the religious worship, the one world religion, and it will also be the economic center. You know, you won't be able to buy or sell anything unless you've got the, you know, the mark of the beast. And all of that is going to be controlled and come out of the city of Babylon. So, and these at the end here are going to be destroyed. And what time? Where are we at?
7:45.
Ooh, we got time to read. All right. So then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me and said, "Come here, I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality. Those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. There's the seven heads and 10 horns again. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having her hand in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead the name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, of the abominations of the earth." Again, this is where it all started. And this is where it's all going to culminate. God's going to finally judge all of the evil that's been on the earth. "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus, And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of this woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And these are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. And the beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And they have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. So again, here's metaphors, symbology that we've seen back in the book of Daniel. And verse 14, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. The woman who saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So, again, calling the city Babylon, and again, knowing that that is where evil started, and that that is going to be the city that is going to be, you know, rebuilt here. Again, Antichrist is probably going to reign from there, and it is going to be destroyed. And in 18, then after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. So, you know that the rebellion against God referred to it as being adultery, and all of these evil systems that have existed have all committed spiritual adultery, committed harlotry against God. Okay? And heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds in the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. And for this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every article of ivory, every article made with very costly wood, bronze, and iron and marble. So this is all the merchants, all the business that was going on. It was controlled by the Antichrist. Is not going to happen no longer. Cinnamon and spice, incense, perfume, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, cargoes of horses, chariots, slaves, and human lives. The fruit you longed for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. And the merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, she who is clothed in fine linen and purple, scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste, and every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, 'What city is like the great city?' They threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city in which all had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste.'" So rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints, apostles, and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. And then the strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it in the sea, saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer." And the sound of the harpist, the musicians, flute players, trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. No craftsman or any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. The light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer. The voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all who have been slain on the earth. So, evil, final judgment has been poured out on the evil, and the Babylon city has been destroyed, and we move in now out of the judgment here and kind of into the good news of the book of Revelation. I mean, it's good news that God has finally judged evil, but now we get to the return of Jesus, the second coming and the setting up of his kingdom.
5 minutes.
5 minutes? We have 5 minutes more?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start in the 19 then. "So after these things I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, 'Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her.' And a second time they said, 'Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sits on the throne, saying, 'Amen, hallelujah.' And a voice came from the throne saying, 'Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, small and the great.' Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns.'" to let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. And it was given her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So let's stop there. The coming of Christ starts in 11. So the heavens open and behold a white horse. Another white horse. This time Jesus is going to be on the horse. Okay. All right. Well, Father, thank you again. I thank you that there is a blessing on just reading and just hearing this word. So we have been blessed tonight. And Father, help us to keep these things in mind, Lord, the judgment that's coming upon those that don't know you. And Father, in these days, give us a boldness and a courage to speak into the lives of those, Lord, that you lead us to talk to. There are divine appointments, and there are times to share, and there are times to be silent. And Father, just help us to know the difference. And that, Father, as we speak, as we witness to others, Lord, you know the people that we're speaking to. You know the hearts. Lord, you know the issues. Use us to speak words of wisdom, to speak words of knowledge, Lord, and to bring the elect into your kingdom in this time. And Father, once again, may all that we do bring you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.